ever since Disney has bought Star Wars and Marvel, there have been questions from the fan community. What exactly is an Inhuman? How is it different than a mutant? What's the expanded universe? What language do Wookiees speak? Are Storm and Black Panther still married? The answer to all these questions and much more on WDWNT On The Air's new show, Nerd Alert, with your host, Joe Hogarty.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode number 4, season 2 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm Joe Hogarty, and joining me are Patrick Hackett.
Martha.
Oh boy. Did you see that movie?
Hell no!
All right. And Jack McCarthy?
Howdy, folks.
And joining us is Taylor Catcher.
Hello, and if you haven't seen it, Patrick, you can't say the Martha thing, okay? I'm just saying that you can't make fun of it because you don't know the trauma he's been through, okay? Like, he has some serious mommy issues, and he deals with them. So, I don't appreciate that.
And speaking of that, so how many times have you seen it, Taylor?
Oh, only once, but I was so into it at the moment that I'm very excited. I'm going to go see it again this week. I think Kevin Smith said it best when he said there's the parademon effect, and I had totally, that's what sold that me on that movie, was the parademon effect.
And by the way, we're talking about Batman and Superman Dawn of Justice. I've seen it twice already. It's good. It's not great. It's definitely not as bad as what the critics are making, but I don't think it's as good as what a lot of the fans are making it out to be. Actually, I was listening to the soundtrack at the gym, and it reminded me of how bad the movie was at times. I go back and forth with it. Sometimes I really like it, and then when I start to think about it, I'm like, I could probably come up with like 50 really bad things that they did in this movie, and I think that's pretty bad.
I mean, speaking of that soundtrack, though, like the Wonder Woman theme and the Lex Luthor theme, particularly both of those are very good. Like, I really like those.
Songs, yeah, I like the Wonder Woman theme.
Oh, I can't believe I derailed the podcast with one word.
Yeah, well, that's what you get. I still think you should go see. Well, you haven't seen Man of Steel, so.
What? Why?
I don't want to see these movies.
That's
okay.
No, it's
and
not.
And it's not that he's a DC hater, because he loves Arrow, and you watch The Flash, too, right?
I do, and I watch Supergirl, but I lost
Supergirl Arrow. Is amazing, by the way. I just finally caught up on that show, and
yeah,
that show captures the essence of Superman better than anything I've ever seen. Like
that show and The Flash are both the way superhero should be done on TV.
Both of those shows are so darn charming in every way, and they have such great like lore stuff. Like, I can't believe they had they basically did the Man Who Has Everything like storyline in a Supergirl episode. You're just like, that's amazing that they have that, the plant that goes on her face and makes her dream of Krypton. I'm like, man.
And really quick, last time we were here, both Patrick and Taylor weren't here, but I know you guys have checked out Daredevil season 2. We talked about it last week, but just really quick, like, tell us, like, what'd you think about it?
I am almost through. I think I have either one episode or two episodes left, and I think it's one of the greatest things ever put on television. And I stand by that. It is an amazing show. Fulton Reed is doing a really excellent job as Foggy this season. It's tremendous.
You think it's better than season 1?
I do.
Yeah, me too. I liked it better than season 1. What about you, Taylor?
Since I happened to have just moved to Seattle and had nothing else to do, I watched it in about a day and I guess 2 hours. I mean, it's just sat there for all of Saturday and watched the whole, pretty much all of Daredevil in a row. Yeah. And it was awesome. And when you have nothing else to do, you know, you're like, I might as well find out what Daredevil's up to. It came out Friday. I watched a couple and then I went to sleep and I woke up the next morning and just watched it all day. I didn't leave my apartment. The Punisher was amazing in it. I don't want to give anything away for the end, but the ending was perfect. Elektra is okay, I guess. She's kind of annoying, but I still like enjoyed her character. Patrick's right when he says it's like the best, probably the best superhero thing that's ever been.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I love Flash and I love Arrow and I love Supergirl, but that Daredevil, I mean, I was just eating it up, just devouring it. And it's excellent. I mean, the characterization of all the characters is perfect, and yeah, it's good.
And Jack, have you only watched any more episodes now?
I haven't gotten to finish it. I'm still at, like, episode 8.
Yeah. Oh, you're in for a treat, man. 8 through 12 are... I think I finished 12 this morning before I went to work. 8 through 12 are what's up.
Yeah, that's I got to the big hole in the ground, and that's it.
Oh, so it gets so much better.
Yeah, you guys are ahead of me.
Joe, what are you doing?
I don't know. I just don't like watching the series like that, like 13 episodes. It's just too long for me.
I think they did it much better this time. To me, it actually felt like, Patrick was saying, around episode 8, 9, it kind of takes a new twist. And you're kind of like, oh, because I introduced something new to it. Where the last season, it was one giant arc. This time, there's like, it is one giant arc, but there's different parts to it. So it feels much more like a trade or something, where you're getting like a big thing, but there's also a bunch of little things happening in the middle of it. And then there's like a nice, a really cool twist. And, around episode 8 or 9.
All right, I'll try to finish it up. Anyway, let's get right into the news. And one of the first things I wanted to talk about was the first Captain America Civil War Twitter reactions from critics have been coming out. And it's pretty overwhelmingly positive. I'm going to read just a couple of it for you. This is from Mike Sampson from Screen Crush News. And he says, Captain America Civil War is so good, it's better Avengers movie than the last Avengers movie. Which isn't that hard, I think. I'm trying not to talk about Civil War by comparing it to Batman vs. Superman, but it's hard. It succeeds because it's exactly what that film is not, fun. The big battle scene in Civil War is an absolute blast. Spider-Man, as you'd expect, steals the show. Ant-Man is a close second. Civil War and Batman vs. Superman tackle some of the same themes and have similar beats, yet Cap works because we know and care about these characters. And that is right. You know, I think that that's the whole issue, is that we've had time to get to see these characters grow and mature into their roles. And I think that that's one advantage that Marvel has over DC in a movie like this.
I think that critic, like, he must have been plugged into my mind, because those are a lot of the complaints I've had about Batman versus Superman. And without comparing the two directly, is there's a lot more gravity in these situations, because think about it, when did Iron Man start? What was that, 2003?
Like seven. Four? No, it was like 2007. Or yeah, 8. I think it was actually 2008.
So 2008, I mean, we've had these characters for almost a decade, and we've gotten to know them and seen them in many different places, and they mean a lot more. And the big scene that we imagine is going to be in Civil War that was in Batman versus Superman, it's going to have a lot more meaning. It's going to have a lot more oomph behind it.
You mean when Goliath is killed?
Yeah, sure, whatever a Goliath is.
You didn't read Civil War?
Well, alright, we're going to get into spoilers here, because everybody here is...
Well, luckily Goliath isn't in Civil War.
That's what I'm saying, he's not in Civil War. That was the joke, okay? Thank you, Jack. I appreciate it.
When does Goliath die in Civil War? This is an aside, obviously.
I think you're kidding around, Patrick.
The clone of Thor kills him. The clone of Thor kills Goliath, and that's what everyone freaks out about. Like, that's the first big battle they have. The clone of Thor shoots a lightning bolt through Goliath when he's giant, and he dies. And they have to bury him in a giant grave, because he never shrunk down when he died. And Tony Stark paid for the grave, but that was like the big... That was the big moment of, like,
I honestly do not remember that at all.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's when Spider-Man...
Oh, that's when people started switching sides from Iron Man.
Yes,
yeah, that's when everyone went to Cap's side.
Yeah.
So, I mean, between killing Goliath and then...
I've read it twice, and I don't remember that at all.
Well, maybe you should read it again.
I thought it was a whole, like, negative zone stuff where they were holding...
That was the end. So that was the end. That was post-death of Goliath.
Maybe
you
should be...
All right, maybe I do need to read it again. I don't think I have it, but I could pick it up.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't be, you should be drinking while you're reading.
I wasn't drinking when I might have been. All right, sorry.
Also, this guy says, too, which is kind of cool, is that Spider-Man has a decent amount of screen time, too. 20 minutes of Spider-Man, 10 minutes of Peter Parker.
Yeah,
that's much more than I expected. I'm hearing it might be a little less, but still, that's still a decent amount, you know, for Spider-Man. Let's see here. this other guy at Collider, Steven Weintraub, he says Chadwick Boseman is fantastic as a Black Panther and can't wait to see him in a solo film. And he absolutely nails the role, which I'm glad to hear that too. And it seems like a lot of critics are saying that. I think they're all saying Spider-Man steals the show and Black Panther is awesome. And that's two of the things I was really hoping for in this film.
I think that's what everyone's hoping for in this film, right? Like, we've seen the other guys. We haven't seen these two. And so it's kind of like the same thing as Wonder Woman and Batman versus Superman, where you're like, yeah, all right, Batman, Superman, this is great. Yeah, they're gonna punch each other. And then you're like, oh, Wonder Woman, there she goes. And she has a way cooler theme than everybody else. Let's get this going here.
Yeah, I was a little concerned because, like, with Batman versus Superman, they were introducing characters that we didn't really get to see their story. I know we've seen Batman before, but I think it would have been better if they did do a solo Batman movie first.
I think what DC did and the reason why that movie was so packed with everything is because they wanted a movie that I think they might have known the critic reaction the movie was going to get. And they're like, look, in a fan reaction even of like, there's too much in this movie. So that because they had to squeeze three movies into one movie, right? So they squeeze the three movies in one movie and take the hit on like the critic reviews, but they still make a bajillion dollars. And then the next movies can be more paced out and more relaxed. And I think that's kind of the way they were. They're like, well, we need all of these things to have happened already before we make Justice League or Wonder Woman or whatever. So, I don't know. It's fine.
Did you hear that they're, you know, it sounds like they're going to release the rated R version in theaters.
And I'll see it because I'm a sucker. But it's I'll go see it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's being a little desperate, though.
They already made like $500 million. They already made more than almost every... They made more than every DC movie ever made, with the exception of Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises. And they made more money than, like, I saw this like thing on the internet that was like almost every single Marvel film, with the exception of like probably Avengers and Avengers 2. So I don't think they're as hurting as like people are like making it out to be. They made plenty of money, although that drop week two was real rough.
Yeah, but they still don't think it's going to reach a billion. I mean, if they release the rated R version, it might. It'll...
But isn't that cheating?
Yeah, it is cheating.
That's how Avatar got to where it is.
And that's what Star Wars should do, that with The Force Awakens.
Absolutely.
I would see it again. I don't care. Yeah.
Did you guys see any of the...
I mean, I'd own it and I'd go see it again.
Yeah,
did you guys
real.
See any of the deleted scenes?
No, I haven't watched those yet. I'm really bummed about that Blu-ray. It is a really bare-bones piece of crap. Okay? Like... They're really just holding out on that 3D multiple. Like, I was so bummed they didn't have the multiple aspect ratios. Like, I was waiting for that to happen where, like, in The Dark Knight, when you get to the IMAX scenes, your whole TV is filled up with, like, you know, crap. And then, like, when you get to... Well, I was like, all right, here it comes. They're on, you know, they're on Jakku. We're going to get, like, a full screen. And I was like, yeah. And then it just never happened. I was like, what? You're not even going to give me, like, the full aspect ratio on this thing? What's going on here? And there's, like... It's like the smallest Blu-ray like scenes. You know they have more scenes. Like they should do like Lord of the Rings leveled up behind the scenes stuff. Like what are they thinking? Lord of the Rings.
I started watching the bonus stuff.
Yeah, it's like 1 hour.
Deleted scenes. You didn't really lose. I didn't think any of those scenes really would have added that much to the movie. I think the snow speeder chase could have been a lot more fun if it was done and expanded on. But nothing else really seemed all that critical that needed to be in there, that it didn't really give me any new insights. But I've watched the first couple of parts of the making of the saga, whatever that long
me too
feature is, and that's been pretty good.
Yeah. It's only an hour, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't seen all of it, but I watched a couple of chapters and it is pretty good. But I'll say, too, the one deleted scene I liked when Kylo Ren walked on the Falcon, I think I would like to see that if they do an extended edition.
Well, and expand upon that.
Yeah.
Because really, him just kind of walking on and looking at the cockpit, you know, if they had threw in some flashback scenes of him as a little kid sitting in there with Mom, Dad, and Chewie in the cockpit, that would have added a lot more to it, but... I mean, they still left him on with the mask, so the actor really couldn't emote much, but just sort of stand there, a little slouched down. You know, there really wasn't much to that.
I could do without a flashback of a family picnic on the Falcon.
Yeah, but you've got you have to remember, you know, if you're going to build on his whole story of being torn, you have to show him as having some positive memories of his parents before they gave him over to Luke and said, see ya, kid, go be a Jedi.
All right, next thing, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about that I keep forgetting about is that they announced that Indiana Jones 5 is actually going to come out sometime in 2019 in July. And Harrison Ford's back, Steven Spielberg's back.
Shia LaBeouf's back.
Woo! Shia!
Really? They're bringing him back.
No, I just say things.
No, he's making rumors, nasty rumors.
Look, Patrick, don't let your dreams be dreams.
Just do it.
But you know what's scary, though? That actually, some news did come out today about that. Frank Marshall was talking to Variety, and they asked him about Indiana Jones, and they said, what is it going to be? And he basically said that it won't be a prequel, but it'll be a continuation of the story that was left off from Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
That means it's real. That means we have to acknowledge it.
I'm still looking forward to it. He's 73 right now. By 2019, what is he going to be? 76 or something like that. He could still do it.
I don't know. I mean, the Crystal Skull, you already saw him slowing down quite a bit.
And let's be honest, every time you see him run in The Force Awakens, you're like, that's an old man's run. That's an old man's run.
Oh, they'll write that in there, I'm sure.
Kind of waddles. He like waddles now.
I don't think he's going to run. He'll probably just step out of the way.
Yeah, classic indie.
He has to run. He always runs.
He runs from everything. Like, I mean, every one of those movies, he's running from something. Whether it's like, you know, crazy killing Kali Ma guys in the second one, or boulders, or Indians attacking him with, you know, he's always running.
Are you excited about that, Patrick?
The Nazis?
No.
You're not?
I'm gonna see it. I'm not excited about it at all.
I'm excited, but I'm a guy that gets excited about things.
I mean, I get excited about things, but I don't know. After Crystal Skull, what do I have to really be excited about?
Seeing Indiana Jones again. That's
Redemption.
Redemption. Thank you. Yes, Joe said it. Redemption. Hey,
that's valid.
Indiana Jones and the Redemption from the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, but what would the theme be if they moved out of the 40s
the
into
the
50s?
The theme is still...
And they're going to go ahead another how many years? You're looking at the early 60s. What are they going to just... go more Cold War kind of stuff, I wonder?
Yeah, the Russians or the new Nazis.
No, I think like they were always looking at stuff like Atlantis, but then again, I can't picture him on the water.
They could add Indiana Jones to the DCEU with Aquaman.
Yeah, Atlantis. Disney not going to let that happen.
Okay, Namor then.
Yeah, there you go.
Or recast and go with a prequel. Put him back against the Nazis in the 40s.
Nope. Just don't do it. Like, I don't... I don't even want to see the young Han Solo movie, really. Like, in all honesty, I don't want that.
I agree with you with that.
A comic book, I would be 100% down if they're like, look, because all those have been excellent so far. Every single one of those Marvel Star Wars comic books have been great. So if they're like, here's Indy's backstory in a comic book with Chewie and like whatever, and here's how he got the Falcon from in Lando or whatever, I would read that in a heartbeat because I can then hear, like, you know, I could hear Harrison Ford in my head and just live that dream, or a book or anything. But I don't want to see like some, I think they finally cast it, but like I would not want to see Dave Franco trying to be Han Solo. Like that's not...
Well, when you say Dave Franco, I kind of want to see Dave Franco be on Solo, but not for the right reasons.
Some sad news to report. Admiral Akbar's voice, Eric...
It's a trap.
...Bowserfield, passed away at the age of 93.
It's a bummer.
And he was in The Force Awakens, too.
Yeah, I wonder how they're going to fill that void.
Well...
I mean, don't have a fish man anymore. I'm sure they'll find someone that sounds like...
Yeah, they can get Patrick to do it.
No, Tom is much better.
Is he really?
Yeah, Tom Akbar is very good.
There you guys have it. Breaking news. Tom from WWNDDT is going to be Admiral Akbar.
Yeah, there's so many extra letters.
Yeah,
in
no.
That's fine. Whatever.
Did you guys hear about Cloak and Dagger is getting their own series on Disney's Freeform Network?
Excited.
What is Disney's Freeform Network? Can someone explain that?
ABC Family.
Oh. Yeah, they changed their name.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd rather Cloak and Dagger on ABC Family. I mean, I don't know. guys.
I mean, it's not ABC Family, though. That's why they changed the name.
Yeah, okay. I think they were trying to get away from the family since they wanted to get a little bit more grown up with their shows.
Is this on Hulu Plus, or do I have to have like cable to watch this?
You
know? I know, but like, do I have to, you know, have cable?
Yeah, I think you might need cable.
Well, then I'm not going to watch Cloak and Dagger. Way to lose me, Disney.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, how do you guys think that'll translate over into series television? I mean, I was never a big reader of them. I saw them pop up in other titles, but
that's what I know them from too.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the characters to really know, is there a series worth of material in there?
Well, Cloak was a big part of Civil War, but we know he's not going to be in the movie.
Yeah.
Do you remember that part, Patrick?
I feel like I'm being attacked. Oh, what a dig. Is this all about Batman versus Superman still?
No, I just like busting your chops.
I vaguely remember Cloak. Cloak and Dagger are like angsty teens, so it definitely fits in on Freeform. Their stuff in the animated has been really good, and they popped up in the Runaways when I was reading all the series surrounding Secret War. They were in the Runaways, and they were cool in that as well. They're good characters. I don't know if they have a series worth of shows, Joe, but we'll see. It's exciting because, you know, we're really getting some lesser-known characters.
Yeah, I feel like Moon Knight's on his way if we got Cloak and Dagger. And that's very exciting.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a test. I mean, to see how it does, and if it's successful, maybe they will add more characters like Moon Knight. But
yeah, I could see Moon Knight definitely being a Netflix show, though.
Oh,
not,
it has to be Netflix.
Freeform.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no. Yeah, it definitely have to be Netflix. But
also, Kevin Feige announced that Inhumans movie is being delayed. I actually heard that it has to do with the Indiana Jones movie, because that's coming out the same time as when the Inhumans movie was coming out. They didn't want to have too many blockbusters during that time period. It's probably just being shifted a couple of months or whatever, but do you think it's in trouble?
Yes. I'll be the first to chime in on that, because it seems like they can just cover it on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'll say no, only because I think they're building it up. And they are, I think Marvel is so desperate to find something in the MCU that will replace the X-Men. I think we'll continue to see a buildup in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But whatever we see in the Inhumans movie is not going to be the traditional Inhumans we know from the books. Like, we may see Black Bolt, we may see Medusa, Karnak, Triton and all those guys, but it's not going to have anywhere near a similar backstory as the Great Refuge. They have a hidden valley, and they've been this race in secret for all.
Well, I mean, that's
years or anything.
That's their backstory right now.
Yeah, that's Agents their backstory.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not. S.H.I.E.L.D., I don't think, can build up as great a scale as they have in the comic books.
Oh, yeah.
If they were going straight to the movies, I could see them bringing in a flying city because, well, hell, they've already lifted a city up in the air and dropped it. But I don't see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. being able to do that kind of build-up to really get the concept of the Inhumans to match up what's in the comics.
I hear you.
It may be a watered down version, but then again, you know, we're talking Marvel and Disney. They'll focus group the hell out of it until they get it right, before they get it done. But yeah, I don't think it's in trouble. I think it's just pushed back because, like you said, Joe, they've got a lot of stuff coming on. Ant-Man was a bigger hit than they thought. So they're going to green light Ant-Man and the Wasp to get that out ahead of time while the iron is still hot. I think it's just a matter of fitting it in the schedule somewhere. I don't think it's a sign that they don't have faith in the property, but it's just fitting it into their schedule. They might not want to take on too much at a time.
How about you, Taylor?
I don't care. Very, very Han Solo about this situation. I don't know. I'm sure it's fine. Disney has money. If they want to make it, they'll make it. If they don't, then they'll just do it on TV. But I think that Jack has a good point that they're going to build it up more and just really flesh out that universe as much as they can so that the movie is, I feel like, to me, it'll be more like Firefly to Serenity than like Guardians of the Galaxy or something, where it's like a buildup of a TV show movie rather than just like a movie. But, you know, I'm not a fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I have no... I'm not invested, I guess.
Yeah, me too.
Into it. So I'm kind of like, well, I'll go see it in theaters for sure. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that I'll go... Any Marvel movie that comes out, I'm there 100%. I'm, you know, very excited about anything that comes out because everything, they haven't really missed the mark once. You know, Black Bolt will be cool to see. I want to see someone, like, talk and blow up a world or something, you know? Why not?
I think they're just being, like, cautious, too. Because that is a weird movie, but I think we mentioned this too before. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy was a big risk and it paid off. And I think that that's why we're seeing movies like this too. Like,
Ant-Man,
Inhumans, and even Suicide Squad, I think, is sort of a result from that because it was just, again, taking a risk and it paid off. And why not? Like, just, you know, like with Suicide Squad, you know, it's going to introduce characters that you're not really going to see much of an origin story from them, and they're all going to come together. Yeah, I guess really quick with that, did you guys see the trailer for Suicide Squad, the most recent one?
Yeah.
This is actually my favorite trailer that they've put out. I think that the reshoots are going well, and I think that it's leaning towards more like something I might watch on a rainy day afternoon than actively avoid.
Good for you, Patrick.
Yeah, what's the deal with you? Seriously, though. I mean, it seems like you're anti-movie DC, but you're pro...
Yes, I am very anti-movie DC.
But you're pro TV DC.
Very.
How does that happen?
Oh, they're two completely different animals.
They're very different, to be honest.
And the quality of... my DC TV shows were negatively affected by the DC movie universe. The whole thing that made me start being anti-DC movie was the trailer for... What was the one before Man of Steel? Superman?
That doesn't matter. That has nothing to do with anything.
Okay, but hold on. Green Lantern? No, it still does. No.
Yeah!
No, the Superman movie Ryan. Before Man of Steel.
Superman Returns?
Superman Returns.
With when that the trailer... Far back.
That far back, I mean, I enjoyed the Batman trilogy because they're standalone, they're to themselves.
But Dark Knight was so bad.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, there's flaws there, but when that Superman trailer came out and they said, does he still stand for truth, justice, and all that stuff? And I'm like, I'm out, see ya. You're ruining the core of the character, and they just continue to ruin the core of Superman.
I will agree with you there. They definitely don't get Superman.
Supergirl gets Superman better than any Superman movie has in the last 15 years.
I'll agree with that, definitely.
My favorite part is that they're just IMing each other, and I'm like, don't you guys realize that those could be tracked? You're just all LOL, you're Superman, haha, you're Supergirl. Like, stop that. That's intra-office IMing.
Well, just like inter-office,
you know,
I think it's kind of like, well, don't tell me how to do my job. And I think that's what they're doing, and especially Zack Snyder is like, look, I know how things work, and he doesn't.
Yeah, he only read the last book, like the fourth book of The Dark Knight Returns, and he's like, this is how Superman is, right? Like, get it? He's a government pawn, and I'm going to have Batman beat him up, because Batman's angry. I like angry
Everybody
Batman.
Everybody kills. Nobody doesn't kill.
I just, you know, you can see past all that. If you just try.
I don't want to try.
Oh. Anyway, let's get back to you. So the Suicide Squad trailer is what we're talking about. So, like, yes, it looks very fun. I think that the rumors that they were reshooting for comedy are bullcrap. I think it's just they do reshoots and they had this scheduled reshoot because you can't just pull a reshoot together. Like, that's not something that Hollywood can do. They can't just be like, you know what, tomorrow let's do reshoot. Let's get all those actors that we had that were doing nothing but of course they are. They're all in other things, and just have them come back. They had that scheduled for months ahead of time, and so it's not like that the reaction to Batman versus Superman was like, let's make this movie funnier. I think they were going to do reshoots anyway, and that's just well, that. I don't necessarily
I definitely think they were going to do reshoots, but I think that the goal of the reshoots probably changed from the reaction to Batman versus Superman to kind of lighten it up and put a little
I think it goes back further. I think it goes back as a reaction to Deadpool. They saw people had a lot of fun with that, and I think that swayed the reshoot focus.
And I think I think I've heard this on other podcasts and stuff, but like Deadpool kind of really kind of was making fun of Batman vs Superman before it even came out. Like, interestingly enough, like some of the things that they do in that movie, like Deadpool blatantly just made fun of, which is kind of sucks for Batman vs Superman. But I don't know. It's I think Suicide Squad is going to be better than I think it is. I mean, at first I was like, okay, I don't know about this, but that newest trailer really sold me on the movie much more than even the trailer before that. Like the Joker laughing the whole time. There's a lot more Batman injected into it. And all the characters seem much more fleshed out, and I enjoy where they're going with it more so than, and then, you know, they got the, they obviously put the things that'll blow up their heads if they screw up in them, because of the Suicide Squad, and I really appreciate
that. All three of you make really good points. I kind of agree with a little bit of each of what you said, but, the difference here is that with Batman vs. Superman, we had Zack Snyder, we have a different director for Suicide Squad, and I think that he started with some sort of comic overtones in the movie, because there's definitely going to be a lot of comedy with Harley Quinn, and I think it, Taylor, you would know better than me. Is it Bullseye? Is he the one that acts like a lunatic?
Deadshot?
Well, Bullseye's not in it. Deadshot's in it. But Deadshot's usually pretty common collect. He's just a...
Bullseye. Who's the guy with the boomerang? Boomerang!
Oh, you know what? They're making him a little too crazy, because Digger, what's his last name? Whatever, Captain Boomerang. He's just an awesome, super cool Australian guy that throws boomerangs and is part of the rogues for the Flash. So I think they're making him a little too crazy, and that's the only thing that's bothered me so far watching every single one of these Suicide Squad trailers. Like, the thing that's bothered me the most is the way they're portraying Captain Boomerang, because Digger Harkness is a crazy Australian guy, but he's not like a crazy Australian guy. He's just like a does his own thing and has cool Australian accent and kills people with boomerangs. Kind of crazy. He's not Mad Max crazy, you know? Like, there's a difference, I think. And not quite sure how they're portraying him in this, but he's a rogue, and he kills Tim Drake's dad in, like, the Blackest Night storyline right before that happens, and then dies and comes back as a White Lantern. You know, just the regular thing.
Alrighty. Alright, well, I mean, we'll probably all go see it at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Even Patrick.
Not in the theater. I don't want to give him my money.
Patrick, you know...
I have to second that. I have no desire to see it.
As a consumer, you have very few ways to get through these companies, and they don't care that it's just not my dollar going towards them. But you know, I that's the way I speak, that I would like the DCU to go in a different direction.
It's too late.
I know that. It's too far gone.
Just stay on that train, you know? You just gotta stay on it till the final stop. You got no choice now. You just gotta...
I'm already off the train.
Yeah, you never got on. You never got... Yeah, I can't believe you just saw Man of Steel.
Some
Wait.
People haven't got on the train.
I'm on the train. Choo-choo! I'm ready to go. Let's get this going. It's a bumpy ride, but it's going all right.
DC TV is the light rail. I don't know.
Yeah, good call.
All right, let's get on to our main topic, and that is the teaser trailer for Star Wars Rogue One.
State your name for the record.
Jyn Erso.
Forgery of Imperial documents, possession of stolen property, aggravated assault, resisting arrest.
On your own from the age of 15, reckless, aggressive, and undisciplined.
This is a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel.
We have a mission for you. A major weapons test is imminent. We need to know what it is and how to destroy it.
Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Ah! Ah! Ah!
you do, they break you. If you continue to fight, what will you become?
I am just tired of every time I put a Star Wars film on that there is a female lead. It's just, it is unrealistic. Shut up.
Shut up. I can't believe they turned back the time on Mon Mothma. That's amazing. Yeah. I was like, that.
Wasn't that wild?
Yeah. And that, what's so weird. Okay, so let's just talk about that for a second. That's honestly the thing I saw the most on the internet. Well, it was my reaction. I'm like, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, like stormtroopers, you know, AT-ATs, whatever. Oh, my gosh, Mon Mothma. Like, what? You got to kind of think about the fact that that's what we were all kind of blown away by. We're like, how did they find that actress that looked just like the other actress? I just think that's a really funny thing to point out because that was my reaction at the end of it. I wasn't like, wow, I can't wait for this awesome Star Wars side story, which I am. But I was just like, Mon Mothma, though. Like, so I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah, I think I put that on Facebook and said the same thing. I guess a lot of people did see that. She was actually in a deleted scene in Revenge of the Sith where she played Mon Mothma.
Oh, really?
And it's the same actress.
Good for them bringing her back.
She definitely has a look.
Yeah. Nails it. But no, I'm very excited about this. The trailer got me very excited.
Yeah.
That shot of the Star Destroyer when they're, and then you see the scale of the Death Star's main weapon.
It was like,
oh my god, that looks good.
So good. It looked so good.
And this is being done by director Gareth Edwards, who did Godzilla. And I guess he knows about scale, and the cinematography looks great. But you can see, like, again, with the Death Star and everything, it looks huge.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, and we, you know, we haven't seen it like that previously. Just, again, like what Jack was saying, with the Star Destroyers next to it, it just looks massive.
Yeah, because we've seen, you know, oh, there's the wide shot, a couple of TIE fighters flying by it. But you never saw, like, how tiny a Star Destroyer looks right next to it.
Yeah, we've only seen it in the wide shot or the extreme close-up where, like, on the surface of it.
Right.
Yeah, so I think he's done a good job of showing the scale.
Yeah. And I heard that they intentionally made the Star Destroyers look a little plasticky to kind of, like, make them look like what we saw in A New Hope.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't think it looked plasticky.
Well, look at it again. It doesn't look as sharp and as realistic as what you'd see in The Force Awakens.
Can I tell you something that's driving me crazy about our Star Wars continuity?
What's that?
How come they haven't developed better uniforms and equipment for the stormtroopers? Like, I get that we're seeing different ones in Force Awakens, but it's just like, it doesn't seem like there's enough change. And I don't know, it just bothers me. Like, this one looks so vastly different than what we saw in Episode 3, but nothing like what happens in 4. And I'm just thinking about how all these transitions take place. Yeah, that's right. I'm concerned about stormtrooper fashion.
Don't fix what's not broken.
I mean, it's clearly broken. Those guys can't see straight to shoot.
Design-wise, I think it looks great. It kind of mirrors what we saw in A New Hope.
I don't think it does. And I don't feel like it's between 3 and 4. It feels weird. That's the only tiny, tiny little bitty complaint I have.
Feels like between 3 and 4 to me. I mean, definitely.
Yeah, like regular stormtroopers, the white ones, I mean, they look almost exactly like we saw in A New Hope. But, I mean, I see what you're saying, like the death troopers, and I guess there's like sand troopers and stuff like that. Are you talking about that?
I'm just talking about the design of the uniform. It just caught me as off. That's the only thing that I enjoyed this trailer thoroughly. It felt off to me, that one little bit.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the what do you call them, dark troopers or shadow troopers?
They're called,
I don't know, the whole
death troopers in this one.
Painting the armor black, I don't know. That never went for me because I always thought, you know, the black armor, that was Darth Vader's deal. That's what set him so far apart from the stormtroopers.
Well, weren't the TIE fighters, didn't they have black armor too?
Yeah, the pilots. But I don't know, it just... The appearance of the dark troopers That didn't do anything for me, but the rest of the trailer I thought looked terrific.
You know what, kind of bothers me a little bit is that they're always using Luke's theme in these movies, and it's Luke's theme. It's, you know, it's like, da 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 da. No, that's not it, is it?
Yeah, that's Luke's theme.
That seems like it's Luke's theme, yeah.
Yeah, that is Luke's theme. That's Luke's theme. It's not Rey's theme. It's not, you know, who's this girl's, Jyn Erso's theme and all that. It's, they need to put more music in. I don't mind if they use the regular Star Wars theme, but I don't know. And again, that's just nitpicking.
Yeah, because that's like, all we have, because this trailer was so flawless.
But I guess, all right, the big question is, who are these mysterious dudes that we're seeing? Like, the guy in white and the guy in black? Any clues?
Well, I mean, the white uniform looks like a Grand Admiral's uniform. And I have no idea who this guy would have been. I would have loved it if it was Thrawn, actually. If we saw, you know, him from the back there with the white uniform and it turned around and we saw the blue skin and the red eyes. I would have loved if they brought Thrawn in on this.
Did he take place during that period?
He took place in the when they first relaunched everything and brought Star Wars back in the books. But supposedly he had been around and something had happened that the Emperor said, you know what, I'm sending you to the Outer Rim. So something screwed up, which could have been Thrawn had the Death Star plans and allowed him to get stolen, and he wasn't able to retrieve them in time. So I would have thought that Thrawn could have actually, you know, fit in right there in that story pretty well. But obviously that's not Thrawn that we saw in the trailer.
Yeah, it definitely has almost the same uniform that he has, except for the white cape.
It's very similar. Like, I'm looking at the uniform side by side now. It's damn near identical, but maybe they're just showing that he's a Grand Admiral.
I wonder if they're going to bring back the guy who played Tarkin at the end of Episode 3 into this.
Well, they just put
at the end of Episode 3, you know, you saw the guy playing Tarkin. It's like, holy crap, he really looked like Peter Crouch.
That's because they put a mask on him.
I don't remember that. I just watched Episode 3. When did that happen? Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
Tarkin
when
at
Vader,
end.
Palpatine, and Tarkin are looking out at the Death Star being constructed.
What? Man, I need to rewatch that. That's awesome.
We're two peas in a pod.
We're two peas in a pod.
You came down on Patrick for not remembering Goliath getting killed?
Yeah, that's a book you read, though. It's different.
No, I'm having so much trouble remembering everything from the Civil War book, and I think that's because Secret War ruined my brain.
That's possible. I can see that. That book is...
It definitely might have ruined my entire brain. I'm like, I remember the beginning of Civil War and the end, and everything in between is kind of hazy. I hurt my ankle a couple weeks ago, and I was taking Percocet. And I was a little loopy on Percocet, and I bought like 6 graphic novels on my Kindle. So it might be a while before I get Civil War.
Friends don't let friends Kindle on Percocet.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, all this stuff's on sale. I need all of this. I bought like 3 Daredevil and 2 Punisher books.
The other guy, though, I was talking about, the guy that's in black and he's kneeling. Before you see like the Emperor's Royal Guards there, you just don't know who he's kneeling in front of. We're assuming it's the Emperor, but it could be Vader too.
And how BA was the line? Is, well, we're rebels, or so the I Rebel line? I was just like, that's a bad line. I was like, you killed it.
I liked it.
Oh, so good.
You're cheesy. I'm just kidding.
But she looks good, though, as the main protagonist. That's Felicity Jones, and she plays Jyn.
Who else sounded funny, that scene of you see them running, and then it looks like there's just 100 stormtroopers chasing after them. I thought that was funny in it. Like,
yeah.
You know, you expect to see, you know, oh, here comes the squad, but not. It looks like every trooper on the ship or base is running after them.
So this is we're getting the story of how they get the Death Star plans for Episode 4.
Right.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and do you think, like, if it's successful, if it makes, like, over $1 billion like Star Wars did, you think they might have a sequel? And
Rogue One, Rogue Two?
Because what it could do is it could run parallel to the Star Wars trilogy.
I don't know. I kind of think these Star Wars stories, I think these are going to be sort of like your Ant-Man and Guardians of Galaxies and the MCU. It's going to do well, absolutely. But I don't think they're going to see the billion-dollar returns like they did on, like, The Force Awakens.
I don't know with this one, because, again, it sounds like Darth Vader's going to be back, and I think people are just going to want to go see it again and again for him, especially if he acts really, as Patrick would say, B.A.
Heck, if they make him as rough as he is in Rebels, I mean, that would just be awesome.
No, yeah, I heard that he's, I mean, again, it's all rumor, but that he's really, really tough in this one. Like, he uses, like, stormtroopers for shields, and you know, you definitely see him doing more things with the Force. I mean, he's not going to have a huge role, but it's going to be bigger than what they first anticipated. And it'd be nice to see that old costume back. And it'd be a way, again, for redemption of the character after what they did in the prequels.
No.
But you know what I found that was kind of funny is, like, you've seen Forrest Whitaker. He plays, like, this character, and I guess he's part of Rogues or Rogue One or whatever. I'm hearing rumor that his actual suit is very similar to Buzz Lightyear's.
Well, so he's to the rescue.
Then maybe he works for Star Command.
Emperor Zurg.
Maybe that's who he's dealing in front of, Emperor Zurg.
Yeah, it's, oh man, a mashup, Disney mashup. Star Wars Rogue One, A Toy Story.
Vader's coming! Everybody just drops to the ground.
You guys should copyright that.
Yeah, no, sure, we'll have no problem copyrighting other people's intellectual property.
And we should recut that and make a YouTube trailer.
There you go.
So you guys don't have any, you know, sort of impression of who that guy is that's kneeling before?
But he's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet he's a bad guy, too.
Just he's an Inquisitor. Bum, bum, bum.
So we're definitely getting to this part, speaking of Inquisitor, that I've been dreading, is that everybody from Rebels has to die.
I still don't think everyone from Rebels has to die.
They have to die!
I just don't see it, no.
It's all
a big, big galaxy.
No, I mean, the Last Jedi is Luke, right? So they all have to die.
Like, at some point in time, if I don't get a reference, now please don't spoil, I have not watched the final two episodes of this season, but if I don't get a reference to, like, at bare minimum, Ezra, I'm like, oh no, Ezra's dead.
Oh, dude, you're not going to be happy at the end of...
I know I'm not going to be happy at the end of it! Why do you think I put off watching it?
Is Rebels over after the season? Is this like the end of it or something?
No,
I think he has one more.
Oh, okay. So there's one more for them to die then, right?
Yeah, they all have to die.
I still think it could go on longer if they wanted to.
Then Yoda would have known that there were other Jedis out there, and he would have talked to Luke about it because George Lucas thought of these things ahead of time, you know?
Well.
He was really forward-thinking.
Hey, you know, Yoda hung out on a swamp planet for how many years, and nobody knew he was there.
I knew.
Well,
because
he was a secret hiding. Yeah, and Ben Kenobi knew. So
yeah, but it could happen that Kanan will probably get it, but who knows? Ezra could end up stranded on some backwater world.
All of them.
So why haven't you watched it, Patrick? Are you really?
I've heard bad things happen, and I'm very nervous to watch it.
Oh yeah.
So no, I'm just like, as long as I don't watch these, those characters are still alive in my mind. So
it's funny. I was thinking of you when I was watching it.
Oh no! Stop it! Stop it! I have two episodes and I haven't watched it. Meanwhile, I've watched an entire season of Archer, an entire season of Bob's Burgers, and almost an entire season of Daredevil.
Watching Archer is not really going to put you in the frame of mind for Rebels.
Yeah, your priorities are out of whack.
Raising.
I know.
Danger zone.
Bottom line is we all like
we all hate
right?
the colon A Star Wars Story.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
they should just stick it Star Wars Rogue One. That's it.
That, I think that's the better title.
Yeah, I mean, what they should do is I think that they're more concerned about that people might get confused with the main trilogies. But they should just do it, like, call, like, maybe Star Wars Episode 7 The Force Awakens. you know, put the episode number in there and then have Star Wars Rogue One. But yeah, I don't know who came
up with
the
idea. Yeah, but you see, that's what the trailer is, really, the trailers are for. At least give people a bite that says, hey, you know what? This is the story of the Death Star plans. You know, versus this is the story of Rey and doing her training. I don't think the title has to define it that much. But yeah, a Star Wars story is just, that's just terrible.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think it's too late to change it now. We're going to be stuck with it. Again, when we go see it, we're probably just going to say, I want two tickets to Rogue One. That's it. All right, so let's wrap this up. And I just wanted to thank Taylor for joining us. You want to say where people can reach you, Taylor, if they want to chat with you?
Yeah, sure. I'm the host of a podcast about video games, I guess, called The Cardboard Box. So you can look us up at cbxcasts.com. That's cbxcasts.com. Or look up The Cardboard Box or CBXcast on YouTube. And there's a podcast that no longer keeps going, but it's fun if you want to learn about comic books that are now older, I guess, at this point. Look up Comic Chat with Gat. But otherwise, I'm at TCatch on Twitter, TK4TCH.
And Mr. Hackett?
You can catch me at HackLaSalle. You can catch Nerd Alert at Nerd Alert Pod. You can email Nerd Alert at nerdalertpod@gmail.com. I am trying to encourage Joe to use our Twitter a little more and get him actually on Twitter, so he can share all his opinions.
Hashtag Joe for Twitter.
All right, no, I'll do that. You know, I'll talk to you about it after the show. And again, as usual, thanks, Jack, for joining us.
Hey, anytime.
And with that, this is the end of episode 4. Until next time,
stay
there. See ya.
Damn it, Joe! You left the pause in the wrong place.
I'll do it again.
Okay.
So with that, this is the end of episode 4. And until then,
stay nerdy.
Good night, all.
Martha.
See ya.